All right, well, good morning to all of you. The joy to be here in your midst again. It's always a blessing. I think last year was the first year that I didn't make it here for during a year's time. In 2020, I don't think my wife and I were here in Allen County. So it's a real joy to be back with you all and in your midst here this morning. Maybe I'll just start by sharing a little bit. I just really want to thank you again for all of your help in the building there of Aquila Villa, the home there that we have today, and a ministry to girls, hurting girls. And you know, I was just reminded of that recently. We're expanding our ministry, and we bought a property next door. Maybe some of you saw our last newsletter, but. And we're going to be adding two more girls and an administrative couple. By the grace of God, if one can be found. So, Brother Steve, if you have one in your midst here, let me know. We're praying about that for a couple to join us there in the work as an assistant administrative couple next door there. It's a four-acre property with a house and barn on it. And so we just bought the property there recently. And we also want to open it up to... walk-in counseling, you know, walk-in appointments 2 days a week there. That administrative couple would also be trained for that. And pray for us, pray with us for that. We're excited about that expansion, extension of the ministry, and desire to open that facet of the ministry up in May of next year, Lord willing. So, and Brother Steve or John here, I don't know if you get our newsletters here. I know that the brother that usually got the newsletters for the church no longer attends here. So if you need that, you get them, Steve? You do get them here? Okay. Just wanted to make sure that if you desire that way. We often send packets out to churches. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you again for the way that you served us almost exactly 5 years ago now. 6 years ago, Barb? 5 years ago, yeah. When we, it was 2016, yeah, that would be 5 years ago that you all, many of you came in there and helped us with the building of the house there. And that was deeply appreciated. Thank you. Okay, well, maybe we can stand in prayer just for this part of the service. Father, we worship you and we love you. We just want to thank you for being a father to us. And I ask you, Lord, to... be a father to me and all of us, Lord, as we have in this part of the service, as I share the message, Lord, that it can come forth in the power of your Spirit and in your anointing and in a way that your people are fed, Lord, your word and your ways, Father. Give me grace, Lord, to feed your people. I thank you for these brothers and sisters. Many of them are dear friends, and just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in their midst here this morning, Lord. So bless this time, Lord, together. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Well, I was just thinking, you know, the opening and the children's lesson were kind of flowed together. And I think Brother Steve's opening comments and my message flow together. So I'm not sure the Lord is perhaps trying to speak to us in a few ways this morning. You know, I had to think of the double-minded man. I was just reminded recently, I looked up the word, he that comes to the Lord, he that comes into the hill of the Lord must have clean hands and a pure heart. And I looked up that word clean, and it was help me to understand that word. I didn't realize exactly what it meant. And it just simply means basically to hide nothing in the darkness. You know, that we're hid, that everything is out in the open in our lives, that we're innocent and blameless. So I just think of us as fathers and mothers. You know, are we keeping things at a place where between us as couples, that there's nothing in the hidden in the dark and we're doing things behind back of our spouse, or are you young people and children behind your parents? You know, that's basically what it means. It doesn't so much mean in the area of the morals, as I understood, as purity of heart, I think, brings that out more. But this is being innocent before the Lord, that everything is up to speed in our lives, up, you know, before God and man, that we're blameless and innocent. Yeah, that's not necessarily my message this morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God laid a message on my heart, charity never fails. More recently, I was really meditating on that in my own, for my own sake, for my life, just thinking how, you know, thinking about charity. What does it mean that charity or love never fails? So I began to meditate on that, and so let's go down through a portion of this scripture here. As we know, it brings out here that we can do many things without charity. Paul says here to the church at Corinth, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. I mean, we can be eloquent speakers, eloquent in our words and ways. And if love is not there, it says that I have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. You know, just a clanging of something that's worthless and not doesn't have any meaning to it. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, even all faith, look at that, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's profound. I mean, we can do many good things, and if there's not love in the midst of all of that, it avails nothing. Nothing, it says. So I was just really meditating on this passage, more for my own life, and I'll share a little bit of the testimony of what God did in my own heart through this a little later here. But charity suffereth long, you know, is kind. God just began to work in my heart in different ways in this past year, and I probably went through the most painful time in my life, apart from some of the depression I had worked through in my life, but some of the purifying work that God did was in my heart was very painful to me, and because I began to see a need in my own life and in my own heart. Charity suffers long, you know, it suffers long with those around us who have need. It can be in our families, it can be in our church body, it can be in the community perhaps, or with our spouse. You know, it suffers long and is kind. That word kindness, you know, that's one word that I'll get into a little bit later here that I felt like I have need in as the Lord did his purifying work in my heart. Charity envieth not. Doesn't envy what others possess, and maybe even spiritual possessions, maybe gifts that you see in another brother and sister in the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't envy that person. Doesn't, you know, envy and try to either acquire that gift or put the other down. You know, the envy can work itself out in various ways. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So there's various things I could expound on, but I'd like to especially park a bit on verse 7. This is where God really worked me over, and I'd just like to just take a look at this verse here and a bit of the next verse there where it says, charity never faileth. In verse 7, it says, charity beareth all things. And, you know, that verse, it was a few years ago that the Lord began to work in my heart in regards to this chapter. But he did a more profound and deep work this year. But there was a situation in our home. We've had either young people in the form of girls or boys in our home for quite a long time. And we ran into a situation with a young lady at that time who was in our home I felt she wronged us, and especially myself. And so I, you know, everything within me wanted to straighten her out. I mean, I was just You know, it's that thing where, you know, you just want to speak your mind and straighten the situation out and let her know how you feel and what you, how you think about, you know, what you think about the situation. And I just wanted, you know, that's my emotions. That's what I wanted to do with that situation at hand. And so I prayed and said, Lord, you know what? You know me. You know what I'd want to do at this given moment. You know how I'd want to just take a hold of this thing. And I actually honestly thought this may be the way to do it. And God led me to 1 Corinthians 13 here, where it says, love beareth all things, or charity beareth all things. And I looked up that word bear. You know what it says? It says to roof over with silence. Wow. God just really spoke to me. That really spoke to me. What I wanted to do was speak my mind. And God was saying, roof this over with silence. Another phrase there, it says, love, charity endureth all things. I looked up that word, and to endure means to stay under the burden, to stay under the situation at hand. So on the one end of things, you know, God was revealing to me that, you know, to be silent, to cover this situation, to cover this situation with silence. But on the other hand, I was to stay under the burden of it. And that's, you know, that was a difficult thing for me to conceive as I thought about, you know, what was at hand. And yet, I knew God was speaking to my heart and spirit. And, well, the same thing happened this summer. This summer, there's a situation in our home where, well, there's a situation that arose in a relationship that I felt my wife and I felt wronged, and both of us in this situation, and I felt like I basically knew what was right and wrong, that, you know, and my fingers pointed at the brother instead of myself, and I. But I did pray, and I said, Lord, you know, search me. I want to know if you want to teach me something through this. And it was a relationship difficulty that Barb and I had with a brother in the congregation there. And so at the same time, the Lord allowed a relationship difficulty to take place that was very close to us, close to me. And and I took a look. We have a few of the ones on staff have kind of moved on in their lives and are in the community there, and we kind of count them as daughters in our lives. And anyway, this one, you know, so they're close to us, and I realized that there was a relationship difficulty between, especially myself, and that one of those who are like daughters to us. And this one really hurt. You know, this relationship hurt. And I began to seek the Lord. You know, just to seek God and say, Lord, you know, where is it me? Is it myself? And that's what I went, and the Lord again led me to 1 Corinthians 13. And I began to look at this scripture, and by the grace of God, I was able to roof it over with silence and to endure under the burden of it all. But I began to take a deeper look at my own heart and just to take a look, Lord, is there ways that I'm interacting with others around me that are not filled with charity, your charity and love? And my, did God go deep with me? I didn't realize there was such blindness in my life. I just, you know, we can be blind to our own needs. And the Lord just really took me deep to show me, you know, some of the things that are there, the way that I interact with others around me that is not filled with the love of God. I went to scriptures like Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and I saw, and I knew that all along, I think, but I realized that one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Another one is meekness. Another one is long-suffering. And God just began to plow on my heart, and I wept for many days. I mean, I was just at a place of weeping over my own needs and realizing that I had hurt others around me. And especially in the area of not being gentle, having more of a spirit of, you know, let's straighten out the situation and getting a hold of the situation and really just addressing the person or the, yeah, and all of that is needful. But I had a lack in my life of speaking the truth in love. And I know in your midst here, I have also done that a few times, and I just want to ask your forgiveness for times when I have not been gentle. I've probably hurt some of you, and I'm sorry for that. I realize that in a new way that gentleness is a fruit of God's Spirit, is to be a fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. But anyway, you know, in a new way, I prayed that prayer in general. You know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way within me. We know that from Psalms 139. But, you know, in a new way, I pray that prayer often. Lord, you know, search me. I want to know the needs of my own heart. I can be so blind to my own needs. And that's what the Lord showed me this year. Some of the needs of my own heart in the area of charity, in the area of love, in the area of bringing forth, of speaking the truth in love to those who I am ministering to. And especially at a pastoral level, I saw how I've hurt people. So, like I said, I wept for many days just over the need of my heart. Anyway, it says here that charity beareth all things. You know, I just don't like to exhort us as fathers, as mothers, as pastors, as a church. You know, in our interactions with one another, you know, there's times to share and speak, and there's times to rebuke and reprove. And there's times for that. But are we filled with the Spirit of God? Is there that love is there that love in the heart as we share with our brother and sister, as we share in our families, you know, that your children can sense you love them. You love them. Whatever is being spoken into their lives, they know you love them. And you know, it's amazing. I was I repented before the Lord over my needs. And like I shared, we have a few that are like daughters to us. And the Bible says he turns the hearts of the children or the fathers to their children. You know, it was amazing to me when I turned my heart in repentance to the Lord, how quickly that one who's like a daughter to us turned her heart back to me. That's amazing. It says he turns the hearts of the children, or fathers to the children, but it also says he turns the hearts of the children to their fathers. So if some of you have lost the heart of your children, have lost the heart of even in a relationship, you know, that other relationship that was also that I thought the brother in the church who I felt had wronged us, well, in seeing my own needs, I went back to him and I saw how I dealt with him and asked his forgiveness. That relationship's been restored. You know, and how quickly God, I've been amazed how quickly God can restore when we see our own needs and repent, and how quickly he influences the other and his heart is turned toward, in the case with me, it was toward me, you know, how quickly those relationships can be restored. But I just want to say, you know, let's take time to look at our own hearts in regards to this area of charity. More specifically this morning, charity beareth all things. Like it says, it roofs it over with silence at times and lets God work. instead of, and I feel like I had an element of control in my life, you know, just I wanted to control this thing and manipulate it the way that I felt it needed to be straightened out or needed to be, that I needed to deal with it. And sometimes we need to roof situations over with silence and let God work. And you know, and that young lady we had in our home years ago who, by the grace of God, I roofed that over with silence, and this one more recently. In both cases, the Lord worked it all out. Very, very beautiful. I just roofed it over with silence and allowed God to work. But at the same time, love endures all things. It stays under the burden. It doesn't just shut a blind eye and say, well, or shut the person out and say, well, if she wants to do, well, you know, if she wants to do her own thing, then I'm just going to shut her out of my life. I'm just going to block out the situation, and it's too painful to stay under the thing. No, it endures. It stays under the burden. Perhaps it's just under the burden by way of prayer. You know, you're praying. You're bringing this before the Lord, and that's more so where I was at. God told me to roof it over with silence, and I stayed under the burden of it in prayer and just finding my way through it, and my wife and I together, and this last one more specifically, and the Lord just beautifully worked. So there's times, brothers and sisters, in our interactions with each other, God wants us, instead of, well, I think it's always, He wants us to have the Spirit, not, He doesn't want us to have the Spirit of straightening someone out. You know, that's for sure. But there's times when He wants to us to even just be silent, to roof a situation over with silence and to bear under it or to endure under it and allow Him to work. And at the same time, showing forth love to the person, even though all the emotions within want to do otherwise. It's hard. It's you know, the emotion, but I'll tell you, it's such a blessing to have God's Spirit in our lives giving us direction. And when He gives direction, we can walk in the grace of God despite all the emotion of the moment being, you know, pulling the other direction. And I find God's grace amazing as we walk with Him and know His ways and understand His, you know, as He speaks into our lives, when we hold fast His Word instead of reverting to our emotions and what our flesh would want to do in the given moment. Maybe I'll just why don't we just turn briefly to Galatians 5, and I also want to turn to another scripture in James 3. Galatians 5, we're just going to the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace. That should be emanating from our lives. But it's also long-suffering. Love suffers long with others around us, with those in need, with those we're working with, our families, our church body, our community, our marriages. Gentleness, there's that word gentleness. And I just have to think of David and his testimony. You know, when I look at my life, and many of you know that I went through some deep trials earlier on in my life. My wife and I had to come off the mission field. And I can truly say that, you know, God has dealt gently with me, very gently. And David, one place in Scripture says, thy gentleness has made me great. And so I believe, you know, as we're gentle with those around us, we can make those great. I mean, we can have influence in that way that we can be an instrument that is used to make others great around us, whether it's our children, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, humility or meekness. You know, meekness, as we have often heard, is not weakness. Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. I like one definition of meekness that I heard, and it really resonates with me, that, you know, a meek person is a, uh, is not a weak person. And when you think of a horse that needs to be broken, you know, a horse can be out in the deserts of Arizona, a wild horse, and he can have all the zest and zeal and snuffing up the dust and all of that, and he looks like he has all the strength that a horse would need. And he does, and he might have all the strength that is needed. But you know, until that horse is broken, and I've worked with horses, and many of you have too, until that horse is broken, it has very little usefulness. And so it is in our lives. And I've, you know, I used to work with teams of horses when I grew up Amish, and you know, I mean, it's amazing how a six or eight horse team can pull a plow, a two bottom plow, all day long through the field and not tire. Of course, you might need to let them rest occasionally, but there's strength there. They were broken horses. They were guidable. They were willing to be at their master's bidding. And yet there was tremendous strength there. And that's what I think of our lives. When I think of meekness, you know, are we people that are broken and usable, broken and willing to do our master's bidding? And sometimes that comes by through human channels, being under authority to those young people, being under authority to your parents, to your church leadership. All of that, you know, is God working sometimes through human channels, and are we at a place of brokenness and saying, Lord, you're using these human channels to guide my life, and I'm willing to be at a place of honor and submission and brokenness before those who you've placed over me. A broken, contrite heart God does not despise. And I like it how it says in Isaiah, it says, he revives the heart of the broken and revives the heart of the contrite ones. And wow, how often I need revived in my spirit and body sometimes. You know, I just simply need refreshed and renewed in strength. And God says he's there for for those who are broken, have a broken, contrite heart, to revive, to restore, to minister life into such an one. Yes, thy gentleness has made me great. You know, too often, too many times I've had this mentality of an aggressive approach when I, you know, when something needed to be addressed in another. And I ended up hurting. Not just those in our home. I have hurt people as a pastor and by my approach, and you know, I've had a little bit more of an aggressive approach, and that's not what I see here. When I see the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, you know, coming in humility and gentleness to such and one as we give admonishment and correction at times. It's all needed within the body of Christ, within our homes and families. Let's turn to James chapter 3, just to show us the wisdom. You know, again, it's in the chapter about the tongue. Of course, we know this chapter well, most of us, and James says in verse 11, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation." That word conversation, by the way, means more behavior. You know, your actions. "Out of a good conversation is works with meekness of wisdom." There's that word meekness. We speak wisdom to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but it comes by way of meekness. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." And you know, some of us, I feel like I, you know, as I think about, you know, some of my responses to those around us. You know, I mean, I always know, and admonishment is a part of ministry. Admonishment is a part of fatherhood. You know, we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I feel like when there's strife, we need to take a look at our own hearts and not glory, not allow ourselves to glory and say, well, I'm just a man that, you know, I'm able to address things, and that's kind of how I looked at myself. You know, I'm able to address things, I'm able to admonish, and I'm able to go into a situation and bring correction. And God says this, if there's strife, if there's a heart that has strife within it, glory not. Do not lie against the truth. There may be something in your own heart that is causing this. Maybe something in your own heart that is causing this turmoil, this situation in the home or the church that is causing disharmony or dysfunction. This wisdom, it says, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now look at the wisdom that is from above. It says, if wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, there's that word gentle, and easy to be entreated. In other words, when we speak into the heart of another, that person, we should have such a wisdom that he can easily respond to that and say, yes, brother. You know, he feels there's a sense of love within our words, within what we're sharing with the other. But there should be an easy way of response to what is being shared. And sometimes it's like I said, it needs to be at times by way of admonishment, warning, or admonition, or correction. And the Bible says, you know, the Word of God is profitable for that, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I mean, that is very necessary. But that we have a spirit that draws the other, not that holds him away and is putting him down and or just hastily entering the situation. You know, that's all. I still remember back a number of years ago, John D. Martin, and I think it was down here in Bern, he preached a message on, and I can't say that I do this every time, so please don't take this as an example that I do every time, but he mentioned, he said, you know, where it says, judge not that ye be not judged, and then, of course, it speaks about the eye there, you know, about pulling the mote out of the, if you have a beam in your own eye, how can you see to pull out the mote out of thy brother's eye? And I just remember him saying this. This has really stuck with me, that he said a surgeon, and I don't know if an eye surgeon does that today yet, but he said an eye surgeon will wash his hands a full 20 minutes before performing that most delicate surgery of the body, which is the eye. You know, a full 20 minutes, he's washing his own hands, making sure his own hands are clean, has no bacteria on it. He washes and soaps and washes and soaps. Still remember that. You know, he said, do we take time to pray? Do we take time to consider and ponder how to address this delicate situation at hand in a way that, yes, can pull that mote out of the eye of your brother or your sister, but that you're not coming with harshness and swiftness and hastiness and doing more damage than good as you endeavor to pull that mote out of the eye. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Like I said, you know, Scripture is very clear that reproof and correction has its place. So Paul says to Timothy here, he says, preach the word, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. But then he says, with all long suffering. that, you know, that's very clear there that, you know, as we address needs in as we address a need in another, that there is a spirit there that suffers long with that individual. You're willing to suffer if, yeah, maybe the first time you're the one you're addressing with the need, you know, he doesn't quite see it. He doesn't quite see what you're saying, and you know, the temptation is to just preach to him further. Try to come from another angle and share with him again instead of letting the Lord work in the heart of that individual. You know, I've found that often it doesn't work the best. If I come back around and I try to reemphasize the point and come from another angle, I mean, I wear them out rather than doing good in the person, rather than, you know, him or her seeing the need of the heart. So it says, exhort with all, do these things with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is simply teaching. I remember quite a few other times I had problems here. A few other times I dropped the device here, or something happened, or the batteries fell out. I think one time. So anyway, well, I think we're back on. So exhorting with all long suffering doctrine, we're to teach. You know, to bring the need to bear upon another, there is teaching that needs to be given. We're to have that spirit of that suffers long and is kind in the midst of it all, you know, as we bring to bear upon the heart the need at hand. Okay, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a few pages over. Chapter 2, it says in the verse 24, I remember a few months ago, and this again had to do with God has really been working me over in hurts I've caused people. And so there was this one individual I knew that I had hurt. But again, I kind of looked at it that, you know, I feel like I was justified in what I did, you know, in my approach with him. And in that specific case, you know, he got upset with me and voiced himself very strongly, and I ended up walking out on him. And I felt I was justified in the way that he spoke and he came across, and he was belittling his ministry, you know, from where it was in a Bible school situation. And I felt, you know, it was just the right thing to do to show him that it's not right what you're doing. You know, Lord, I read this. I was praying one day. I think I was specifically praying about that situation. I went to chapter 2, verse 24. It says here, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And I got to thinking, you know, was I gentle in that situation? Was there a gentleness about me, or was that, what did that show forth when I walked out on it? I thought to myself, and the Lord just began to work me over. No, no, Mel, that was not a gentleness of heart and spirit. It says here, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And he was definitely in a place of opposing himself. I mean, and I think that word simply means the person is resistant. You know, and he was at a place of resistance. He did not like what I was sharing with him. But it says, in meekness instructing those that resist. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And you know, yeah, and what I see in that scripture is just simply that as we come across in gentleness and meekness instructing those who are resistant to truth, You have the possibility of leaving a crack in the door for future ministry to that person. You know, I ended up my one now? Okay. In that, I'll reiterate it for sake of the recording here. In that situation, you know, I called him and apologized, and I knew his home. He came from a very rough home situation, a father who was very harsh. And, you know, it meant the world to him. It just meant so much to him that I would call and apologize. And he was not used to that from his father. You know, and our relationship is restored. It's amazing. You know, and God is just, but God tremendously used the situation again to show me that, you know, there was a lack of gentleness there. There was a lack of meekness in the way that I approached him. And I, you know, he wanted, I mean, basically he wanted nothing to do with me. You know, I know that from when he would come through our area. At times he avoided, you know, he would avoid stopping by our place, which there's one of the, he's a brother to one of the sisters, I mean, one of the staff who works in our place. Anyway, you know, but as soon as I asked forgiveness, it just meant, you know, the relationship was. But, you know, I learned from it that, you know, sure, it was a blessing to apologize and have it restored, but I, you know, I regret that I didn't have that approach at the very beginning of gentleness and coming to him with meekness and trying to help him to see, you know, see the need of his heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm about to close here. Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here the church is at Ephesus. It's basically bringing out there was a lot of need there. I mean, there was those who were being tossed to and fro and you know, winds of doctrine were coming through the church, perhaps, and they had men who were trying to deceive. And yet, in the middle of that, the next verse says, but speaking the truth in love to those who are at a place of wavering and trying to find their way. And there was a lot of need in your brother or sister in the Lord. Paul exhorts, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So Paul very clearly brings out, despite all of what was taking place there, make sure that you speak the truth in love. And as this truth is spoken in love, it has a possibility of, there's a harmony there. as you know, as there, you know, as the body has need, perhaps in different areas or different functions of the body, as the truth is spoken in love, there's a it has a harmonizing and a bringing together effect to the place where the body can be completely whole and just be like our body functions, you know, from day to day for the most part. I know there's some sick among you, but other than when we're sick or down in some way, our body is at full capacity. We have absolutely no pain and no dysfunction, and there's nothing that is causing the mobility or hindering us from being able to do the task at hand. It's because there's a full, you know, the body is taking care of itself. I mean, there's a full functionality. And that's what God wants of his body, a full functionality, and it can be brought to that place through speaking the truth in love. Is what Paul is bringing out. Through speaking the truth in love. It's not that the truth shouldn't be spoken. It needs to be spoken. But it needs to be spoken in love. And eventually the body can just make increase of itself in love and full functionality, just like our own body. You know, media, as soon as your own body gets a scratch, I mean, you're there ministering to it. Or a cut, you know, their body immediately ministers to it. And few days that cut is healed up and on you go. That's what I see of the body as we speak the truth in love. Yes, there's going to be need in the midst of a body until Christ comes back. I mean, we're going to have need of healing and ministering to each other. But if it's spoken in love, if there's truth is spoken in love, it doesn't have to be a big deal. You just come along that cut and that need and that wound and that hurt or whatever, you minister to it and on you go as a body. It's making it increase of itself in love continuously. And I don't know if I have the full meaning of that word, but I'm trying my best here. So let's make increase, brothers and sisters, of our homes, our marriages, our churches, and even our community. You know, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, there needs to be in our hearts an element of draw. I mean, I'm not for this friendship evangelism where everything, you know, we win the world by acting like it. Not at all. But there needs to be a draw in our spirit. You know, the Beatitudes are the first part of the sermon, of the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, Jesus speaks of the attitudes of our heart. Then he says, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, before he goes into the rest of his sermon. And I think the attitude of the heart has so much to do on having a drawing effect on our communities, but all and that we can win those around us, have those drawn to our spirit. They just love being around us. The spirit that emanates from us. But brothers and sisters, also for your family, do you have a drawing effect upon your children, upon your young people? Or are the words spoken to your young person one that kind of pushes them away? Makes them feel like, again, I just don't measure up. I just don't quite measure up to Dad's expectations. And that was a little bit where I was at half a year ago. You know, that young girl in our home, she just felt like she couldn't meet up to my expectations. And, you know, we can come across that way by being, you know, by constantly addressing the need of our young person, hardly giving any affirmation, and they get the feeling like, you know, Dad, he just doesn't think that I can measure up. And, I mean, it's the way you can lose their heart, brother and sister, finally, you know, they just get discouraged. Feel like, yeah, I just can't, I'll never be able to meet Dad's expectations. Never. I just give up. Brother and sister, I think our spirit, you know, our charity has a lot to do if we come across by way of charity. Charity suffers long. It's kind. In the middle of difficult situations, it's kind. Speaks in kindness. It bears all things. You know, and roof server with silence at times. I'm not saying it's always that we have to roof every situation, but as God leads us, we must. In given situations, we must roof it over with silence and let God work. You know, it says charity. I just want to elaborate on two more of those points. It says charity believeth all things. You know, I often speak to the girls in our home by way of this little phrase here. You know, believeth all things, I believe, is simply, and maybe some of you Let me say, I don't know quite how to say this, but well, I'll just use an example. Those in our home, you know, we have girls, young ladies coming who have been either from their home, either have sometimes even moral abuse, but sometimes just harshness, you know, where, again, there's been a separation. I mean, there's strained relationships, or sometimes almost severed relationships. And they come into our home, you know, some of them come into our home having made vows. I will never trust any man. I will never. Never will I trust a man in my life again. Well, I began to tell him, charity believeth all things. I tell him, look, there's no reason you shouldn't be trusting others or even men if there's no evidence that they can't be trusted. Now, you don't just lay your heart out in front of someone and let them crush it if you know he can't be trusted. But if there's no evidence that someone can't be trusted, then there needs to be a belief. Charity believeth all things. And that's what I tell these girls, and they it helps them. But I want to say to you young people, maybe dad has hurt you. But perhaps he's repented. And allow your heart to again be won over to your father. And I know trust takes time sometimes if dad has hurt you and he has acted harshly toward you, but never allow yourself to come to a place of making a vow, I will never trust my dad. And furthermore, I will never trust any man. But like I said, he turns the hearts of the children back to their fathers. You know, there needs to be there's a responsibility on both when there's a relationship difficulty. The father needs to repent and of his deed and action, but the young lady or the young person needs to also be willing to be won over. There needs to be a responsibility on two parts, not just on the one individual, not just on the father. Okay, in closing, you know, God loves your family. He cares for the church body here. You know, the more I walk with God, the more I realize how much God is a God of relationship. He just loves relationship. He just, you know, and we know in our personal relationship with him how much he loves us. I think each one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can say, God loves me. I mean, he's been patient with me, with my needs. And we know how patient and long-suffering he's been with us. And we see him as a God of relationship many times in those ways. But sometimes I don't think we see him quite as much, you know, in us relating to our fellow man. We more, you know, we think, oh, let's, brother or sister, just she needs to see her need. And I need to be the one helping straighten out this thing. And perhaps you are, but is your heart filled with charity and love in your approach to that brother, to that sister in the Lord? And like I said, the more I see the God of relationship that he is to me, the more I see him as a God of relationship amongst the body of Christ. He just loves where there's harmony within a body, within a family, within a marriage. You know, and the more that we can come across in love toward each other and give, you know, even when I've been hurt by my spouse perhaps, you know, things can be fairly easy to resolve if I don't butt heads, but I am willing to bear under that thing or to endure and to take the low road and to look at my own needs. Or just to not respond hastily and take time to ponder. I mean, I've found it not that hard to resolve a difficulty or kind of a relationship thing we're working through. And if we can take time and have that spirit of charity, just in all relationships. And I'd like to end with saying, charity never fails. That's what really spoke to me about half a year ago when I was pondering. I thought, you know, Lord, you know there's this relationship difficulty between Barb and I and I'm talking about Barb and I and this young daughter, like daughter, one who was like, it's like a daughter to us. You know, there's a relationship difficulty there. And Lord, I want to know what it means to win her back. I want to know what am I doing? How do I respond to this situation when I finally realized she was drawing away? And I sought the Lord, and you know, that was the first phrase as I went through 1 Corinthians 13 that stood out to me. Charity never fails. And I said, Lord, okay, if charity never fails, then I want to come across in charity. It doesn't fail. Then I want to speak in charity. I want to have that kind of spirit that doesn't fail. If I give love to that individual, if I give love to this young lady, young daughter of ours, if I give her love, you promise it will not fail. And you know, that's exactly what happened. Our relationship is stronger than it was, as if it would have never happened. Restored. And so I just want to say to us that I can testify, charity doesn't. And I, you know, in our communities, I realize with lost people, there's going to be a resistance to love, perhaps. But I believe in, they'll answer for that day. There's something done in their heart that they have to resist when there's love given. And I'm not saying every situation turns out just right and the way we'd want to see it turn out. But I have found, and am finding more and more, that it's amazing what God does. When we speak in love. And I'd just like to end with saying again, charity never fails. God bless you all.